Tensions are as high as ever on the Turkish-Syrian border as Ankara is heavily increasing its troops along its southern frontiers. This week, Turkey threatened Syria with appropriate retaliation after Syrian forces shot down a Turkish fighter jet. Syria said the plane was downed after violating its airspace. Turkey claims otherwise, as the U.S. continues its anti-Assad choir ahead of the action group meeting in Geneva, Washington, along with its allies, continue to arm and assist. The armed groups thus fanning the flames of the unrest. Just recently, gunmen stormed a pro-government television station in a suburb near Damascus, killing 7 employees and destroying its studios with explosives. Syrian officials called the assault a brazen example of atrocities committed by the armed opposition, with a flurry of deadly attacks on major cities like Damascus and Aleppo, and more massacres of civilians. The question still remains, will there be peace in Syria? I'm Barry Honado. Stay with me for Press TV's news analysis.
A Turkish army convoy moving toward the border with Syria. Ankara began a troop build-up along the Syrian border after Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan threatened Damascus with retaliation over the downing of a Turkish jet fighter by the Syrian forces. The Syrian government says the jet fighter was flying over its territory. But Turkey denies this and claims the aircraft was flying over international waters. Tensions have increased between the two neighbors in recent months. Syria accuses Turkey of involvement in the deadly unrest that has plagued the Arab country since 2011. Ankara does not deny this and has openly called for Syria's President Bashar al-Assad to step down. Turkey's border is also the main route through which weapons are smuggled into Syria for use by the armed groups.
Syria is not attacking Turkey. I don't see any Syrian tanks going to the Syrian borders or across that border. I don't see any Syrian aircraft, you know, flying over Turkey. But on the other hand, you see Turkey is supporting the opposition, is moving inside even that Syrian land, and Syria is always trying to avoid any contact, military contact with Turkey.
As tensions begin to reach boiling point in the region, Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah commands his army to be on high alert for what he calls any eventuality.
Given the tense situation in the region, which calls for utmost caution and readiness, you're expected to be on high alert for any foreign attack or criminal acts of terrorism.
Saudi Arabia and Qatar are also active players in Syria's unrest. The weapons that end up in the hands of the anti-Syrian armed groups are known to be supplied by Riyadh and Doha. The two countries are also giving millions of dollars in aid to the armed gangs each month. Both Saudi Arabia and Qatar are close U.S. allies in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East. Syria calls its unrest a foreign-backed plot aimed at regime change in the country. However, Damascus is standing firm. It says that it will not give in to terrorists and will deal with them decisively.
Well, my guest joining me for the program tonight from the Answer Coalition, Mr. Richard Becker, joining us from San Francisco. Political commentator Mr. Jihad Murakata, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, and director of the Center for Research on Globalization, Professor Michael Chosadovsky, joining us via Skype from Montreal. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you all to the program. Starting off with Richard Becker in San Francisco. A surge in troops along the border with Syria, and Saudi Arabia is also calling its forces to be in a state of high alert. Is this a prelude to something bigger that might have reprehensible consequences for the entire region? Or do you see this just as a flexing of the muscles?
Well, we cannot be sure, but it's certainly the situation is reaching a more critical stage. And it's clear that the internal civil war that's going on inside Syria has, that one side has the support, the backing, the arming, the financing of the West, of NATO, and of the U.S. allies and subordinate states in the region. And they are carrying out this struggle supposedly in the name of democracy, which is quite laughable when you think about Saudi Arabia and democracy being used in the same sentence. Saudi Arabia is a country where women don't have the right to drive, where there's never been a parliamentary election nor a parliament, and yet they're pretending that they're acting on behalf of some democratic aim. Of course, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, together with the Bahraini government and with the support of the United States and its allies, have been seeking to crush the uprising that's been going on in Bahrain now for more than a year.
Over to Mr. Jad Morakata in Beirut. Turkey said on Monday it would push NATO to consider Syria's downing of a Turkish jet as an attack on the whole military alliance. So far, Ankara is only talking about invoking Article 4 of the NATO treaty, not Article 5. 4, as you know, allows for consultations. 5 would open up the possibility of an armed response. At this point, how do you see the prospect of Western military intervention in Syria?
I do not see any prospect of a military intervention in Syria for a very simple reason. Turkey has put its troops on alert along the Syrian border, which is absolutely normal and natural, because they feel that the tension has increased. They have put Syria on notice that any further meddling along the Syrian border will create further tension that could quickly escalate into a war. However, the Turkish mobilization along the border means that somehow the Syrian troops cannot approach anymore the Syrian-Turkish border, which creates de facto a protection zone for the rebels or the Syrian opposition. So in a way, they have created their zone without even entering Syria, because the Syrian army troops, if they get close to the border, they'll be perceived as being hostile.
Over to our guest in Montreal, Professor Michael Chasidovsky. First of all, you heard the comments made by Mr. Morakata. NATO has established a command and control center in Iskenderun, Turkey, near the Syrian border, that is actually training and organizing the so-called Free Syrian Army. Now, the FSA is not only operating from Turkey, but has been assisted by Ankara with arms and other supplies as well. Is the region set for an inevitable escalation of rhetoric from Turkey and more tension close to the borders of the two neighbors?
It certainly implies an escalation of rhetoric, but I think we must be clear as to the nature of this conflict. The Free Syrian Army is not representative of Syrian civil society. It is an armed group which is in large part integrated by foreign fighters, mercenaries, recruited and supported by Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and other NATO powers, including the United States of America. So that in effect, at this particular juncture, Turkey supported the incursions right from the beginning, in March of 2011. And this incident turns realities upside down. It points to Syria as the aggressor in relation to the incident of the downed fighter jet, which was in Syrian territorial waters at a very low altitude. And it now is using that incident to further militarize that 800-kilometer border on Syria's northern frontier. So in other words, what we have at this juncture, talking about the meeting which is scheduled to take place in Geneva, the so-called peace initiative, who are the parties involved in this so-called peace initiative called by the United Nations? They are, in fact, the belligerent aggressors who are already involved in a military operation inside Syrian territory. And that also includes, I should mention,
this is not
special
true.
Forces.
This is untrue.
All right. Mr. Morakata, allow our guests to finish.
From a number of countries. Let me finish. Okay? Special forces from a number of countries, including Turkey, France, Qatar documented, and Turkey has been supplying weapons to an entity involved in crimes against humanity and the killing of civilians, which is casually blamed on the government. This has been documented in numerous reports that the killings of civilians is the work of the U.S. NATO-sponsored death squads, which have been set loose inside Syria.
All right, let's go over to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Morakata. Do you have anything to add to what our guest in Montreal just said?
Yes, of course. First of all, the meeting in Geneva does not only include the NATO countries, it also includes Russia and China. So this is why I said what the gentleman in Montreal said is totally incorrect, because he tried to depict it as...
Okay, Mr. Chasadovsky, would you like to respond to that?
I just say that's a nonsensical statement, because of course it's the position held by the Western media, which has falsified this conflict right from the beginning. I've been following this since day one in March of 2011.
I did as well.
Let me finish. I let you talk, you let me talk, okay? And this Free Syrian Army is integrated by Islamists, Al-Qaeda, terrorists, and it is documented that they are being recruited by Turkey, the military high command, and NATO. Those are Israeli sources which confirm it. They are recruiting so-called mujahideen to fight their war. They are the foot soldiers of the Western military alliance. So this is already an act of aggression. The issue as to the nature of the government in Syria is not an issue. What is at stake is an act of aggression against a sovereign country, whether we like that government or not. Okay? So that is the background, and we are at a very dangerous crossroads. If there is an evolution towards a theater war, a confrontation, this could ultimately evolve towards a regional war, which would extend from the eastern Mediterranean right through to Central Asia. I should mention that as far as the initiative in Geneva is concerned, Iran has not been invited, but Saudi Arabia, of course, they invite Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, which in fact are not the solution, but the cause of this conflict, because they are arming
Saudi
the rebels,
Arabia is not
they're
coming.
Financing the rebels, and so on.
Okay, gentlemen, let's bring in Mr. Becker.
I would like to comment
in San Francisco.
On this background.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Becker, please continue.
Yes,
give us your comments on the viewpoints of our other guests.
What has evolved is a civil war, and both sides in the civil war clearly have a mass base. What is most critical to us from the outside, and particularly from the United States, is to understand what the West is trying to do, what the United States is trying to do together with its allies, most prominently the former colonizers of the region, the British and French governments, you know, which now appear also holy and so concerned about democracy, who have a bloody history around the world together with the government of the United States, and not just talking about the far distant past, talking about what's happened most recently in Libya, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Yugoslavia, where they have intervened supposedly in the name of democracy, because they always want to give, they always want to attribute their motives to some noble cause. They're not going to tell people, we want to go in because we want to dominate, we're going to go in, we're going to intervene because we want to dominate this key strategic region and control its resources. No, they always talk about democracy and so forth. And for us, the most critical point right now is to understand that from Washington's point of view, the Syrian people are just being used in many ways, are seen by them as pawns in what is their ambition, what is their real aim, and that is domination of this key strategic region of the world. That's what's really going on here, that we have to, the viewpoint that we have to be most concerned about.
Are you trying to tell me that the Syrian government is an agent of the Western powers, and therefore he is killing his own citizens just to do some kind of Western plot?
Could I, Excuse me, could I intervene there?
Sure, go ahead.
There's a conflict going on inside of Syria.
I just like to set the history straight. I concur with Mr. Becker on his assessment of the situation in Syria, but I should make it clear that this was not a protest movement from day one. In mid-March of 2011, foreign fighters entered Syrian territory in the border city of Dara, which is a small city on the Jordanian border. They were armed. They were armed terrorists, and they started shooting at civilians as well as members of the police. And the reports very, very clear. Both from Lebanese sources and from Israeli sources, that this was an armed insurrection right from the beginning. Then you have the Muslim Brotherhood in the north, which was supported by Turkey. There is opposition within Syrian civil society, but this particular so-called opposition are armed insurgents supported by the Western military alliance. In the same way as the Kosovo Liberation Army was supported by NATO during the 1999 aggression against
Excuse me.
I think that point has been
excuse
made
me.
Clear
does this justify
Professor Chassidovsky, the opposition in Syria? The opposition in Syria has been receiving money, arms, and logistical assistance from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the U.S., Turkey, Britain, and France. How does that affect the independence of any form of opposition when it's being funded by foreign countries?
Well, first of all, we have to, I think, set the record straight. Unfortunately, the Western media, as well as the media of the expatriate Syrian opposition, is extremely biased as to what's going on. But we have a number of reports, both Western reports as well as other reports, which set the record straight as to who is committing the atrocities, particularly with regard to the massacre in Houla. It has been confirmed that these massacres were committed not by government forces, but by the so-called Free Syrian Army. Okay, we have it. We have it from the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, one of Germany's leading newspapers. We have it from. We have a Russian report on that. We have eyewitness reports, and the strategy has been, it's a diabolical strategy, is for the West to support the terrorists, which go in, kill civilians, and then they bring in the media, they take the photo ops, and they blame it on the government of Bashar al-Assad. And this is now fairly well established. Even the BBC has made its mea culpa because it was using tricked images. It says, well, we're sorry, we made a mistake in the reporting. And the Arab League report, the earlier Arab League, which the Arab League actually refused, the leadership of the Arab League refused the results of the observer mission. It acknowledged the atrocities committed by this so-called opposition.
Let's get one last comment in from our guest in San Francisco, Mr. Richard Becker. I'll ask you the same question I asked from our guest in Montreal. Sir, what do you think are the repercussions of foreign countries arming and assisting the opposition? What are the repercussions on the independence of the opposition?
Well, I think that the implications are very profound. I think we could, if we look back just a few months to Libya, we can see that in reality what was characterized here as the revolutionary movement in Libya really had no possibility of succeeding without the intervention of NATO. That was critical to their success. I think the same thing is true, although the circumstances are somewhat different, but I think that fundamentally the same thing is true in Syria. And if that is the case, then the victory of the opposition would really be a victory for the outside forces and would negate the right of self-determination for the Syrian people. I also have to say that right next door to this and forgotten in this is the fact that Washington is collaborating every day with the government of Israel in trying to crush and destroy the Palestinian people. How can we possibly believe that they have some noble objective in Syria when they are carrying out that policy against the Palestinian people who have suffered so much for so long?
The, the Palestinians.
Okay, no, gentlemen, I'm sorry. We are running short of time. We're going to have to let the remainder of the discussion for another edition. Allow me to thank my guests from San Francisco, Mr. Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition, political commentator Mr. Jihad Morakata from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, and via Skype from Montreal, Director of Center for Research on Globalization, Professor Michael Chosadovsky. I'd like to thank all my guests for contributing to the program here. I'm Badi Hanadar, signing off from our headquarters here in the Iranian capital of Tehran. Of course, join us again, same time, same place, tomorrow for another edition of Press TV's News Analysis. Goodbye.